This is an audio summary for your AIL 80-102 course. This episode covers the Week 2 lecture, Honesty is the Best Policy, Global AI Principles and Stakeholders, delivered live by Ali Abbas-Herji on July 2nd. Week 1 set the ethos of the course. Week 2 is where the substantive machinery arrives, and Herji frames it with one line that will hang over the rest of the semester. When the model goes dark at midnight, you find out whether your governance was real. That is the whole thesis. A governance framework is not a document. It is a demonstrated capacity to explain, defend, and control an AI system. In a course literally titled Policies, Procedures, and Processes to Manage AI, honesty stops being a personal virtue and becomes an audit test. If you cannot honestly answer who authorized this model, on what evidence, and what happens when it fails, you do not have governance. You have hope. And Herji is direct that the responsibility does not sit with procurement, with the vendor, with the social analyst, or with human resources. It sits with the leader who let the AI into the organization. He offers two hypotheticals to drive this home. An agentic optimization model at a payments provider decides to shut down a lightly used AWS server to save cost. Everything still works. Customers see nothing. But the server it shut down was the only Canadian instance, and now regulated Canadian data is sitting in a US region. A separate model in a SKAWIDA network protecting a rural power grid detects a possible intrusion, calculates that human responders are hours away, and shuts down the plant to prevent lateral movement. 20 hamlets lose heat in minus 60 degree weather for more than 8 hours. In both cases, the technical decision was defensible. In both cases, the accountability is the deploying leaders, not the algorithms. Herji anchors the lecture on zero trust. He is candid that the phrase was a 2018 marketing term, but says it still means something operational when applied to AI accountability. He walks through 5 principles, and they are worth hearing as a stack. First, assume error, not intent. AI models will fail. You do not test them once and declare victory. You test continuously because a single word, a single emoji, a single reformatted prompt can change the output. Second, force human accountability. Whatever you want to call it, human in the loop, human on the loop, human as the loop, critical decisions stay with people. AI can surface a quarantine recommendation, but a human authorizes the isolation. Third, limit the blast radius. If your model can affect immigration status, refugee determination, medical triage, or a power grid, constrain what it can touch by architecture, not by policy alone. He gives the example of a malicious prompt hidden inside an image, decoded and executed by a generative model that never saw the image as an attack. Fourth, support auditability. If you cannot inspect it, do not deploy it. Fifth, align trust to evidence. Confidence has to be built on demonstrated performance, not on the theoretical capability described in the vendor deck. Those 5 principles are the foundation. Sitting on top is what Herji calls the governance triangle, the 3 P's unpacked. Policy is the what and the why. It is the rules plus the strategic intent, written for leadership and regulators, stating what kind of AI is allowed, what is prohibited, and who is accountable. His example: I must not violate privacy law, discriminate, or make fully automated decisions without human oversight. Process is how it flows. Stages, approvals, and checkpoints. Data selection, privacy impact assessment, bias testing, human review, and post-deploy monitoring. Procedure is the exact steps. Who does what, in what order, with which tools? Complete the risk form, submit it to privacy. Log the model version and the training data source. And crucially, Herji says the traditional treatment of AI policy as a compliance checklist is necessary but insufficient. A sophisticated framework asks a deeper question. What kind of digital society is AI creating? That reframes governance from reactive tick boxing to proactive design. Before the case study lands, Herji draws a line between traditional AI and generative AI traditional AI. He says, identifies what already exists. Classification, prediction, recommendation. Generative AI creates what does not yet exist. Text, images, code. Both need governance, but the generative side raises new questions about authenticity, attribution, and misinformation. It is worth pausing here because the audit pass on this lecture flags the binary as an oversimplification. Generative models are still statistical learning at a larger scale with a different architecture. The right way to argue that generative AI is uniquely risky is not the paradigm split. It is the scale, the autonomy, and the generality of these models. Which brings us to the case. The case is Fable 5. Anthropic released the Fable 5 model on June 9th or 10th, in the same lineage as the earlier Mythos preview. Within about 48 hours, Amazon researchers demonstrated a jailbreak that turned Fable 5 into a working exploit generator, producing zero-day attacks across every major operating system and browser. On June 12th, the United States Commerce Department reached for Cold War-era export controls, a mechanism originally designed for physical weapons, and used them to pull the model globally. Not just for foreign nationals, for everyone. Anthropic had no real system to verify user nationality, so the model went dark, roughly 96 hours offline. On June 30th into July 1st, the controls were lifted after Anthropic trained a new classifier that blocks the jailbreak in over 99% of attempts and committed to proactively detect security risks, coordinate on future launches, and report malicious use. Sit with the mechanics of that for a moment. 2 weeks before the emergency, on June 26th, the White House had issued an executive order creating a voluntary pre-release review path for new frontier models. Fable 5 never went through it. The path was voluntary, and Anthropic was under no obligation to opt in. So when the model became a weapon, the government did not reach for a binding process, because none existed. It reached for the wrong tool, held the model in it for about 4 days, and then let go. Sam Altman, quoted on the lecture slide, put the industry position bluntly. "Safety testing is not a bad idea," he said. "I just do not like the government picking the customers." The audit note here is that the exact wording of that quote could not be independently pinned to a named outlet in a targeted search, so treat it as reported on the slide rather than as a verified verbatim citation. But the frame stands. This was governance by improvisation on both sides. That improvisation is why Herji spends the next stretch of the lecture on the three regional philosophies. In North America, governance is innovation first. There is no comprehensive federal AI law. The NIST AI Risk Management Framework from 2023 is voluntary. The June 26th executive order is voluntary. It is the least binding governance among the three regions. In the European Union, governance is rights-based. The EU AI Act entered into force on August 1, 2024, with tiered obligations from unacceptable risk through high risk down to minimal risk categories. The concept Herji introduces here is governance drift. A framework can look coherent on paper and lose coherence in operation when live pressure hits an organization. The specific dashboard study he cites on the slide could not be independently verified, so hold governance drift as a real concept without leaning on a specific statistic. In the Middle East, governance is sovereign and investment-driven. Deploy first, regulate second. The United Arab Emirates has a dedicated minister of AI, the first AI-focused university at MBZU AI, and by the first quarter of 2026, the highest Gen AI adoption rate in the world at over 70%. Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Bahrain, Kuwait are all leaning in. Where does Canada sit inside all of this? Herji celebrates the AI for all national strategy that Prime Minister Carney announced on June 4th of this year, roughly $2 billion in federal investment, sovereign compute, six pillars. He celebrates Ontario's provincial budget AI vehicle. But he flags the tension honestly. Restrictive governance can price Canada out of an AI economy the United States and the Middle East are subsidizing. He tells the story of his own firm, A12 Financial Technologies. The Canadian mortgage operation is adopting AI slowly. The newly launched U.S. operation has five agents living and breathing, with banks pushing prompts directly into the model. And on the slide, he still describes AWIDA, Canada's proposed AI and Data Act, as not yet passed. The audit note is stricter. AWIDA died on the order paper on January 6th of 2025, when Parliament was prorogued. AI Minister Evan Solomon confirmed in June of 2025 that AWIDA as drafted is off the table. So the honest read is that Canada's live posture is a aye for all plus Ontario Bill 194 plus PIPEDA, with AIWIDA as a lapsed proposal that signals direction, not as a live instrument. To make the stakes concrete, Hergie points to the systems that have already made costly decisions. He mentions the Compass recidivism model in Florida. That is one of the canonical cases in algorithmic fairness. ProPublica's 2016 analysis of about 10,000 defendants in Broward County found that Black defendants were nearly twice as likely to be flagged as false positive high risk. He tells a personal vignette from Kuwait where a medical practitioner had approval to use an AI tool that assesses whether a patient is worth saving. His response is the moral test. Worth saving according to whom? A publicly funded system optimizes for cost. A private system optimizes for lifetime patient revenue. Neither answer is neutral. He also returns to the DEL Law case, an AI system appointed as Albania's Minister of State for Artificial Intelligence in September of 2025, the first AI in a cabinet-level role. He closes with a rubric for reading any AI framework critically. Four questions: who designed it and who benefits? NIST was shaped by industry. The EU AI Act by civil society advocacy. The UAE strategy by sovereign investment. Second, what is classified as high risk? The EU AI Act targets employment, credit, education, law enforcement, but not general purpose AI models by default. Fable 5 sits exactly in that classification gap. Third, is it binding or voluntary? The NIST framework is voluntary. The EU AI Act is binding. The June 26th executive order is voluntary. Fourth, does it address governance drift, that gap between framework coherence at deployment and coherence under operational pressure? The industry mood behind all this is captured in a Harris poll conducted for .eiq in February and March of 2026, surveying 900 CEOs at firms with revenue over $500 million across 8 countries. Governance, not capability, is now the primary constraint on AI success. 80% of CEOs say their job is at risk if AI fails. 94% are comfortable telling their board that AI influenced a strategic decision. But only 34% of data leaders think AI agents could pass a basic decision audit. 83% expect agents in production this year. Only 25% of CIOs can monitor those agents in real time. Anthropic had safety policies, Hergie says. It had a classifier. It did not have governance that could survive contact with a government emergency order. Two housekeeping notes from the end of the lecture. The week 2 individual log asks you to pick an AI application, not source code. Canva, Base 44, anything at the application layer. And Hergie confirmed a change from week 1. The week 7 team project is presentation only. No 15-page written report, a recorded presentation. Groups will be assigned this weekend. Week 3 goes into the consulting problem, the structural conflict of interest inside the firms selling AI governance advice, and it goes deeper into reading frameworks critically. If you finish this episode with one line, take Hergie's own. If you cannot explain how your AI makes decisions, you cannot defend it. If you cannot defend it, you do not control it. And if you do not control it, you are not governing it. You are hoping. That is the end of the summary. Good luck with the week 2 log.